Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you would not mind, would you take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me into the book of Psalm? Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We're in a Sunday school series dealing with the issues of life answered from the Word of God. And then as we deal with people, there's going to be natural questions that come up. Maybe we've even had some questions ourselves, and that we wanted to know, what did God's Word have to say? So many times with these hot button topics and these issues, we default to our own opinions. We default to our own perspective, our own history, our own thing. And that becomes a dangerous thing because our heart cannot be trusted. The Bible's very clear that we cannot trust our feeling, we cannot trust our emotions, we can't trust our heart, because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There are some things that we could feel strongly on and still be wrong, which is what makes these hot button topics, these issues, such an important thing, because people have opinions. The subject we're talking about today is probably one of the most heated opinion, passionate opinions that people will have, and shouting, red face, emotional, name-calling. And we need to be able to deal with these in a biblical way, to remove us out of the way and say, this is what God has to say about this. Let's think about this. This is what the Bible says. And of course, this is going to be a subject where people are going to disagree, no matter if we show what the Bible says or not. But for our own state of mind, we need to be able to have it settled with what the Word of God says. What is the question that we have for today? Is abortion the killing of unborn? And of course, this is a subject that is brought up all the time. It is still a hot button topic. It's still something that's going on. Whether you have a famous movie star who wears a short who said, I proudly had an abortion. You have those things all the time. You have people who are bragging on it as if it was a thing that needs to be promoted. Because it's so prominent, we need to have a biblically defensible position on it, not a personal opinion. Now, we understand we're going to have a personal opinion, but for us, when we deal with others, we need to know what the Bible has to say on a subject such as this. With that, notice with me, if you don't mind, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and if you don't mind, notice with me in Psalm 139, starting at verse number 13. Psalm 139 in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in the continuance were fashioned, as there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should number. They are also more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. The Bible is very clear here that God has created us, that we were created in the womb, that we were a person in the womb, and that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, we know biologically that we are made up of parts. There are many parts that make the whole. The Bible, scientists have tell us that we are made up of 46 chromosomes, right? And that these chromosomes help determine who we are. They determine our eye color, our personality. They determine our genetics. They determine everything about us. And that every cell in your body has 46 chromosomes, two pairs of 23. The only exemption of that would be our reproductive cells that have only 23. And then what happens is that the other partner has 23. And then what happens at conception is that the chromosomes that come from the male meet the chromosomes that come with a female, and they merge together to make a brand new creature, a brand new being. Then what happens here in a process called mitosis, that one cell divides, and then it divides again. And in that cell, it has all the information to make a brand new creature. And as that cell begins to multiply more and more, an amazing thing happens. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Some of those cells become a heart. Some of those cells become a brain. Some of those cells become blood vessels. Some of those cells become bones. Think about that hard substance of a bone being formed inside of a body. All happening as God is watching, as God is putting it together. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That God had put it together. That God knew what he was doing. That none of you had to be put together like Legos by some other person when you were being born. So you didn't have to open the oven every once in a while just to check and see if the cake's doing all right. God was watching you form cell by cell by cell. And that all that information, if you could think about it, started off from one cell that divided, and those cells were programmed and guided by God to become a collection of cells to become a heart. Think about that. How did they know that they were supposed to be a heart? How did they know that they were supposed to be an eye, a brain, skin? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God was behind it all. Life could not form without God. You said, well, I don't believe that. I understand there are some people who don't believe that, but this is what the Bible has to say, and this is what we're sticking with. What does the Bible have to say? That I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That God has put me together. God has put me together in secret. Notice again in Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The idea of covered here is carrying the idea that he is weaving us together. He's putting us together. He is forming us. Where were we formed? In the mother's womb. We were life then. We were something God was putting it together. Notice in verse 14. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The word fearfully carries the idea that we go as an emotional response, looking at God putting us together and saying, wow, look at that power. The idea of wonderful carries the idea to make us go, wow, to be in awe. Again, to think about all those cells put together, the mitosis, that you are made up of trillions of cells. Forgive me, I forgot how many exactly trillions of cells you are made up of. But it started off with one cell. It started with half a cell and another half a cell joining together. And then that cell beginning to split and to make trillions of cells that made you. You can't make yourself. You can't make yourself taller. You can't change your genetics. You are what God made you. God knew what he was doing. That also means, by the way, God didn't have an accident with you. You were made with purpose and intention. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And it says, marvelous are thy works. We should marvel look at what God did. To marvel at a baby being born and know that that baby did not begin at birth, but there was a process for the previous 9 months on average for that cell to split to be enough for that baby to be viable outside of the mother's womb. But before that, God in secret was making that child. It says, my substance was not hid from thee, meaning that God saw the whole process. Now, we have the ability now of technology to get 3D renderings. You could actually see the child inside making faces, sucking his thumb. You could see a lot. I mean, even before that, we had x-rays and sonograms. There was a lot we could see, but the technology today is just amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's still recent. For thousands of years, they didn't have that. But even then, all we could do is barely see it. But God saw in perfect detail because he was putting it together. And God was doing it in secret when no one else can see what was being made. God was putting it together. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. The idea of curiously. Man, I don't know how this is put together. I don't know how God had designed it to make this cell to know it's going to be a heart. This cell is going to be a kidney. This cell is supposed to be a liver. To think that God put it together. There is a lot of organs. Understand that it goes from a cell, a collection of cells joined together to make what? A tissue. And tissues joined together to make a? Organ. Organs gather together to make a? System. Good. She's only in med school right now trying to learn these things. Good. Good job. So, and to think, our body is just not our body. It is a collection of systems. It is a collection of organs, a collection of tissues, a collection of trillion of cells, and God put it together. Notice it says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, in thy book were all my members written, which in the continuance were fashioned as if yet there was none of them. The idea that you started off unformed, a single cell, and then from that cell that mitosis comes, and God made you. I am fearfully and wonderfully made under the auspice, the watchful eye of God. You were not an accident. You may have been a surprise to your mom and dad, but you are not a surprise to God. And God created you with purpose. He didn't do anything because he was bored. He didn't do anything just as an experiment. He had a purpose for your life at the very beginning. Notice, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them, to think that God watched over us and put us here. Notice, if you don't mind, as we turn to the major prophet of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, we have the calling of Jeremiah under the public ministry. And as God is calling him, notice what God had been working with Jeremiah about. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, in Jeremiah chapter 1, and it says in verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about this. Before those two cells joined together, God already knew you. He knew everything about you. He knew what you were going to be like. He knew your personality. He knew where you were going to be born at. Think about this. There are unchangeables in our life. We know that there are choices we make in our life, and there are choices that God makes for us that we didn't have a choice from. For example, you did not have a choice of who your parents were. That wasn't a choice for you. God chose for you. You didn't choose where you were going to be born. I mean, not everyone could be born in Texas. I understand that. You didn't choose when you were going to be born. God chose those things for you. You didn't choose your eye color, your hair color, your race, your nationality. God chose those for you. And yet, it's those unchangeables that people complain about the most, that you have no control over, you had no choice, God chose for you, and so therefore, you are, by default, saying God made a mistake. But before you were even formed, God knew you. And before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Notice that before you were even born, before you came out of the womb, God had a plan for your life. Every single one of you, God had a plan for your life. You were born with purpose and intention. There's not a single one of you who should not have existed. Every single one of you, God had a purpose for. Now, we need to find that purpose. That's our lifelong thing now, is to find out what God made us for. But God did not make an accident for you. Now, I'm saying that because there's a lot of people, as an extension of this, who don't think that you have value or others have value. And abortion goes against all of this. Abortion promotes killing. We know that what it does is that it does kill a life. That's a big deal. God had created that, and God had created us with purpose. He created us from the womb, that we were a living being. As soon as that first two cells formed together, we were a living being. And then those cells continued to divide. God had a purpose for us. And when the idea of people killing a life inside, they are killing a life. It is a big deal. It promotes killing. With that, people used to say that abortion will lower child abuse. They actually found statistically that it went the opposite way. Why? Because it gets to the place where people don't see a value in a child. Do you know that there are some people who not only promote abortion, but they promote the killing of a child from age 2 on down, saying this child is not wanted, this child is not is broken, whatever else, let's get rid of them. Can you think of some? Well, remember, where do you divide the line? Yeah. They just moved the line past birth and said that this child is not quite formed yet, not whatever else, that we could go and kill it, and because it hasn't got a conscience yet, it hasn't whatever else, whatever argument they are. But what happens is it starts devaluing the life of a child, and it actually promotes and has caused more child abuse because people don't see a value in the child. That's statistics. It is a marketable, measurable thing that child abuse has gone up after Roe v. Wade, not go down. It devalues life. That if you're willing to kill the life of a child, then you don't see any life as value. We know that there are so many places where the killing of an animal has a more serious penalty than a death of a person. It shows where the value of it is. They don't see the sanctity of life. We don't see life as important. In fact, there are so many people that say that we need to get rid of people. We know that there's a big push, and has been for years, to get our population down to 1 million. King Charles of England said that when he dies, he wants to be reincarnated as a virus to kill all of mankind to bring the population down to 1 million. Bill Gates publicly have said that we need to bring the population down to 1 million. I've got so many people who say that type of thing all the time. Ted Turner, another one. People believe that we don't have value of life. Let's get rid of life. That's a big deal. They see no value in life. Let's just get rid of them. They're in the way. Let's just make it better for those elite that we choose to allow to have. It devalues life quite a bit. That's just part of, once we start devaluing the life of a child inside of the womb, it starts to devalue all life, period. You're like, this is uncomfortable. It's an uncomfortable subject. It is an important subject, though. We need to know what the Bible has to say biblically. So, just as a recap of some of the things that we've already hit, life begins with conception. We see that in many passages throughout the Bible. Life begins with conception. That Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah 1:5, that before I came forth out of the womb, God had a plan for me. Before I was conceived, God already knew me, everything about me. God had these things already in mind. I was created with purpose. I was created that God recognizes that life began before birth. John the Baptist, when he was inside of Elizabeth's womb, when he met Mary, who was expectant with child, the babe leapt within. The Bible doesn't say the fetus leapt within. The babe leapt within. Baby John the Baptist recognized baby Jesus. When David had a child and it was going to die at birth, he said afterwards, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. He recognized that that baby that died went somewhere forever. Amen. That means that baby had a soul. He went with God. That life begins with conception. That's how God sees it. We know people can say, well, science says this. Science can be wrong, and their science is wrong. Life begins at conception, but that's what God says, and we could agree with it. You're like, well, I got plenty of people who disagree. I understand. This is a subject that people have opinions on. We're trying to say, what does the Bible have to say? You could disagree all you want, but all we're trying to do is say, this is what God says. This is what the Bible says, showing you from God's word and nailing it down. We know that conception is a gift of God. Notice with me Psalm 127. Psalm 127. As you're turning to Psalm 127, when Eve gave birth to Cain, before she realized what was going to happen to him, she said that God, I have gotten a man from the Lord. God had given me a child. She recognized that it was God that had given her a child. She recognized it was a gift of God. Psalm 127, and notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Children are a gift of God. God sees every child as a gift. Now remember, God's timing is perfect. It may not be your timing, but God's timing is perfect. Can you trust him? That's a big deal. Can you trust him? God says, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a child. Now, parents, we need to be reminded of that when the little brats are being little brats. And maybe remind ourselves so we don't choke them or pull them underwater too long. That this is a gift of God. They're a gift of God. God gave me this gift. And that's what he considers them. They are a gift. God trusted me with this gift. And they're precious. That conception is a gift of God. We know that people can make laws, but it doesn't change the fact. This is what God said. May I remind you of something? That we have different society, There is a moral society. What is a moral society? A moral society is a society that knows what is right and chooses to do it. There is an immoral society. An immoral society is a society that knows what's right and chooses to do wrong. Then there's an amoral society. An amoral society is a society that can no longer tell what is right. And that's a society that we're now living in. A society that can no longer tell what is right. We can no longer tell if killing is right or not. We can no longer tell if evil doing is right or not. This is why we have to stick with the Bible, because we've switched to an amoral society. And because we're in an amoral society, it affects the way that we think. We get surrounded by how people see children, how people see abortion, how people see life, how they see whatever else. And it gets to the place where it affects us and we start seeing it as no big deal. Whether someone dies, no big deal. It should affect us, and we should see that life, conception, children are a gift of God, that God created them with purpose, he created them with intent, and that he had a plan for them. And we need to stand where God has to stand on this issue. Now, we know that some people will swing the pendulum too far on the other thing. Remember, we need to have a biblically defensible position. It is not my intention to say, well, guess what? We're going to go protest abortion clinics and whatever else. You know, that's actually not the problem. That is a symptom. The abortion is a symptom and not the problem. And just like any symptom, we need to find out what the problem is and attempt to fix the problem. For example, if I have a headache, I often will take a Tylenol or some sort of medicine. Now, the reason why I have the headache is because I did not lack a pill. Does that make sense? I'm just treating a symptom. What is best if I could find the source of the headache and take care of that? Abortion is a symptom. It is not a cause. And sometimes we could spend so many times working on the symptom, we never take care of the cause. What is the main cause? The heart issue of man. They need a savior. They need to know Jesus Christ as their savior. I'm going to switch things up just a little bit. Years ago in college, I had to write a paper. That's what you do in college, is you write papers. And we had to write a paper dealing with the idea of irony and trying to take a position that we normally wouldn't take. And so I wrote a paper talking about abortions are a blessing of God. I'll let you pause and get that one in. Abortions are a blessing of God. You're like, what in the world? You just got through talking about all this. Well, think about this. Most of these children, if they were born, would grow up in a place where no one ever presented them the gospel. They would live their entire life never hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and never being confronted with a choice to accept Jesus Christ. Because of that, they would live a life without regard to God, and then they would die and go to an awful place called hell. Because we're not being the soul winners we ought to be, God's still not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that people go to that awful place called hell. So because God can't trust us to do what we're supposed to do, he allows abortion, and every child that dies goes to heaven to be with him. Abortion is a result of Christians not doing their job.
Amen. Yes.
Yep. You're like, well, I didn't expect that turn. It's us. Remember, the symptom is abortion. The main cause is the heart issue of man. They're not right with God. And they don't change because we will not be a witness. We will not tell people about the Lord. We have our objections. We have our own comfort. We don't want to disrupt people. When the most loving thing that we can do is to present them with the gospel. Not in a harsh way, not in a mean way, not in a confrontational yelling way, but because we don't tell people about the Lord, because we don't do that, God has allowed this to happen because he's not willing that any should perish. Come to a different way of looking at it. Interesting paper, right? But we have to look at things the way that the Bible says so. You understand, we can look at an abortion from a conservative perspective and it still not be a biblical perspective. God created every child with purpose and intent. He is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. His will and desires for every person to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he saved us. Remember, he didn't save you by accident. He saved you with purpose and intent. There was a reason why he saved you. And our job is to tell as many people as possible about Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, very rarely do people change their mind because of protesters outside of abortion clinic. In fact, it aggravates them even more. But someone needs to lovingly tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loves them regardless. By the way, if anybody's had an abortion, God loves them still and was willing to forgive them of all of their sins. He loves them and wants them to be saved. God loves us very much. I know this is a heavy subject, but it's important. We need to know what the Bible has to say concerning these things. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you, Lord, that we could trust you. I thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that you made me with intention. You made each of these folks with purpose. You have a desire for them. None of them were accidents. Lord, help us to find your purpose and plan in our life and obey it, follow it, and fulfill the purpose and desire that you had for us in our life. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.